One of the toughest rebukes to the Justice Department in recent memory came last week from a federal judge in Texas. Judge Andrew Hanen accused prosecutors of outright lying in a case challenging President Obama's executive order on immigration. The judge ordered ethics training for the lawyers, even told the attorney general to develop a plan for preventing unethical behavior. What does all this mean? For some analysis, we turn to former prosecutor Steve Ryan, now a partner at the law firm McDermott, Will & Emery. And Steve, this one, I say it's unprecedented. Have you heard of anything like this?
Well, Tom, from time to time, there are cases where judges feel that the Department of Justice attorneys have not been as accurate, clear, or honest with them as they could be. And this is one of those cases. Ted Stevens' case was a case where both the judge and the defense raised similar claims, and there are several cases pending around the country where these kind of concerns are raised.
So this is something systemic that seems to really not necessarily go with a given administration.
Oh, the actions of the Justice Department are generally divorced from whatever the President of the United States wants. But in this case, the immigration case in Texas is the case that's gone up to the Supreme Court. And this one is closely tied to the administration because the conduct is about suspending the deportation of people. So it is a very politicized case. And the conduct here looks like the Department of Justice attorneys are now being accused of by the judge of misrepresentation when the administration was doing something that was inconsistent with what they said in court.
What they said in court was that they were not moving forward on these orders that the president had given because it was pending before the court, but in fact about 100,000 people had been subject to the new process. And Justice, I guess they said nobody had been processed that way, but 100,000 people had been.
Well, and the judge came to the conclusion that the attorneys knew or should have known that. In other words, everybody understands when a client lies to you, and sometimes your client's a federal agency who hasn't told you exactly what they're doing. So you could be sawed off, as we call it in lawyering, by the client. In this case, the judge feels that the attorneys had ample warning that they should have known about it. And so that's why he went ballistic.
Because Justice is not saying that it didn't happen. They're saying that, well, maybe it receded into their memory and this kind of thing, and which does, I guess, beg credulity a little bit.
Well, look, you know, one of the interesting things about the lawyer profession is there's always a guy on the other side trying to make a fool out of you and a judge to be the impartial observer. When the judge, though, gets persnickety with you about whether you're telling him the truth, you have a big problem. And the Justice Department in this case has a big problem. Now, generally, let's take a step back. Most Justice Department attorneys don't go to work for any other purpose than to do justice and to, you know, meet their ethical obligations. So the problem is when you don't, and the judge believes that you haven't, it is news at that point.
And so he has ordered them to have ethical training and so on, and he actually had them out of the courtroom when he issued that rebuke, which is really not about the merits of the case, but just about their behavior. And what are we to make of that? Is that something they're obligated to do?
The first thing that's there is that the judge basically took away the right of these Justice Department attorneys to appear in his court. He basically went back on what's called a pro hoc vice admission that traditionally, you know, I would be admitted in a court in Boston as an assistant U.S. attorney or as a Justice Department official, even though I'm not from that court. What's happened here in Texas is he revoked the rights of those Justice Department lawyers to appear before him. And second, he's basically, and this was a little bit, I think, temperamental, said that the department needs to do ethics training in a different way. And of course, it's not his job to tell the Justice Department how they should ethically train their lawyers. But it's an exercise of judicial frustration in suggesting how that should go.
And so what should the Justice Department do now as what would be a reasonable response for them at this point?
Well, you know, look, the Justice Department is a wonderful agency. I was part of it for a number of years and did some of the most important things I think I've ever done as a lawyer there. The problem for the department is it's often resistant to criticism. The lawyers are always criticized by the opposing counsel and attacked. And so they have to have a better radar to discern when they've made a mistake. This case is highly political, and the attorneys here, you know, according to the judge, knew or should have known that the representations they made to the court were false. And that's a pretty serious accusation, and there's an Office of Professional Responsibility within the Justice Department to look at those kind of cases. But it's, you know, it's going to turn out that this is not the Justice Department's finest hour, as many other cases are.
We're speaking with Steve Ryan. He's a partner at the law firm McDermott, Will & Emery. And do you think that those lawyers could face some kind of professional sanction or even disbarment?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know the facts of this case well enough. My guess is no, they're not going to be disbarred. They might be reprimanded. They might have other things occur. If you go back to the Ted Stevens case, then the prosecutor's misconduct in that case, there were actions taken. One of the attorneys committed suicide. Who was under investigation for having acted in an improper way, and others were disciplined. But it's very, very rare that attorneys are going to be disciplined for ethics violations, either on the defense side or on the prosecution side of cases. And this is actually a civil case against the 26 states that were trying to have the administration enforce what they thought was the proper way to do immigration law, which is that there was no discretion. So it is a very important case, and it's up at the Supreme Court. So this ferment in a case that's at the Supreme Court is relatively unprecedented.
I guess maybe the difference is that in the Ted Stevens case, an individual was convicted, you know, lost re-election and so forth, that could have changed electoral history in some way. In this case, it's more about issues than about an individual who could go to prison.
Well, you know, I think it's always important when somebody's liberty is at stake. And in this case, millions of people's liberty is at stake. In other words, the argument here is that there's 100,000 reasons the judge is upset, which is that 100,000 people are not being deported right now because of the actions of the department. And so when you see something like that, it does affect real people. You know, in the Ted Stevens case, it's singular. Here, it's 100,000 people.
On the other hand, you could argue that the purpose of the law is to be the law, and that compassion sometimes might be a virtue, but not if it contravenes what the law says.
Well, and that's why they build courthouses. I mean, ultimately, you know, we are a nation of laws. Ultimately, it does end up in court. And I don't think there's any more powerful role in America than a United States district court judge. They're there alone. They're there. They do justice. I clerked for a federal judge, and I used to see him sit in his big chair and think about what he was going to do next, you know, very carefully about it, to try and take the law and make justice out of it with the situation at hand. This judge, you know, is very angry. And this happens, by the way. Royce Lambert, the chief judge of the District of Columbia Court, held the Secretary of the Interior in contempt at one point on the Indian lands cases. You know, when judges get their backs up, you know, they have a lot of power to cause attention to be put on these issues.
So what's your prediction of what will actually happen now, and how could this affect the case itself of the 26 states before the Supreme Court?
Well, the Supreme Court knows how to read the newspaper, and so I'm sure that the clerks of the Supreme Court justices are following this action, and they'll let the justices know, and justices can read the newspapers themselves. I don't know that it'll have an effect on that case. I do think it'll have an effect on the careers of some of the people who are involved here. You know, and it's always a difficult situation when you're representing an agency and you find out that the agency's doing something other than what you represented in court as a Department of Justice attorney.
Steve Ryan is a partner at the law firm McDermott, Will & Emery, former federal prosecutor. Thanks so much for joining me.
Tom, it was a pleasure as always. Thanks.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.